Well, it's a little different in here this morning. We're glad that you're here, and hopefully you're beginning, if you haven't already, gotten in the quote-unquote Christmas spirit. We're in a series about Look Who's Coming to Christmas. We talked about Simeon last week, and we're going to talk about, well, the title's Jesus, the Lord of Lords, Surrender to Him, what the Bible says about Mary. Now, let me give you kind of a warning, depending on your theological background. Seems we need to have an open mind and believe about Mary what the Bible says about Mary, okay? For whatever reason, over history, there's been some theology in one particular branch of the church that is what I would call not biblical. So we want to avoid that if all possible. I find that in churches, we either lean to one extreme or the other. We tend to almost worship Mary. In fact, there's a term called Mariology. Or the wing of the church that we're kind of in reaction, I think, to that theology, we almost neglect Mary. As I said last week, I never did a teaching on Simeon before. I've never done a whole message or teaching on Mary before. And I thought that was interesting. But let me ask you, how much about Mary is there in the Bible, actually? Do you ever think about that? We're going to read 20 verses out of Luke chapter 1, and that's most of it. If it wasn't for this narrative, there's not a lot about Mary. There's certainly not a lot of words that come from her mouth other than in this passage of Scripture. But when you think of the word surrender, what do you think of? You know, I think of come out with your hands up, right? Or waving a white flag. When we think of surrender, we usually think of someone physically, a person or army, giving up or surrendering to another individual or army. But the real battles aren't on the outside, they're on the inside, aren't they? And so when we talk about surrender today, we're talking about surrendering those issues in our lives that we need to surrender. So, with that being said, let's got 3 points this morning after we read the text, and you don't have it in your outline, it's a little long. We'll read it off the screen. Very familiar story. You've all heard it before. I'll point out a few things we'll get to later. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." It was a reaction? Well, she was confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Scratched her head. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I'm the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. We're going to read the other part about Elizabeth. That's not verse 45. Let me finish reading the story then to you. let's see, what verse is that? That's 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and explained to Mary, God has blessed you above all women. Your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. All right, we're going to look at three aspects of Mary. The first one being kind of a negative one. Mary is just a human being. Don't worship her. Now, it seems unnecessary to even say this. We don't worship people. Who do we worship? We just finished a series on worship. Our definition was to give glory and honor and pleasure to who? To God. Okay. So it doesn't seem even necessary to say it, but history has kind of let this creep in to part of the church. So I'm not trying to offend anybody or anybody's beliefs. I'm just want to address five what I would consider unbiblical teachings about Jesus and why it's so important. First one is called the perpetual virginity of Mary. All right, it's just what it sounds, that Mary was and always was a virgin. The time she was born, the time she died. All right, the problem with that, according to the Bible, is 16 times the Bible refers to brothers of Jesus. Now, I don't know, but in my mind, there's no way that he had brothers, unless Mary had sexual relationships with her husband, right? I think the theology crept in to try and say, well, if Jesus was going to be holy, then she had to be holy. The problem here, what's the big deal, is this. It's the idea that having sex with your husband is an unholy act or a defiling act, right? Otherwise, this shouldn't be an issue. So, sex with your husband is a holy act according to Scripture. So, biblically speaking and theologically speaking, it's not true that she was a perpetual virgin. Second error is this, the Immaculate Conception. Now, everybody's probably heard this term, but if you're like me, you're not quite sure what it means. What it refers to is Mary as being sinless, incapable of sinning. Romans 3:23 says what? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say all but Mary, does it? So Mary was just like you and I. She was a sinful person. So what's the big deal? Well, who was the only sinless person? Jesus Christ, right? So we are attributing a characteristic to Mary that should be uniquely belong to our Lord Jesus, correct? And consequently, if we're doing that, we are, diminishing Jesus, aren't we? Well, Jesus wasn't the only sinless person. Mary was sinless also. Big issue. Third error is this, believe in the ascension of Mary. Meaning that she didn't literally die, that when her life was to be over, she ascended into heaven. What's the big, well, first, is it true? No, it's not true. What's the big deal? Again, is it ascribing a characteristic to Mary that uniquely belongs to Jesus Christ, right? Consequently, belittling Jesus. There's a big deal anytime we're belittling Jesus, isn't it? Fourth error is this, that she is a redeemer. That Christ desires for us to come to him through her. What's the scripture say? There's only one name under heaven whereby you and I can be saved, right? Christ Jesus. Again, the big deal, are you ascribing something to Mary that uniquely belongs to Jesus Christ, consequently diminishing him. And the last one, that she is an intercessor. You and I can pray to her. The theory here is this. If I pray to Mary and Mary asks Jesus for it, I got a better chance to get my prayers answered. I said, can Jesus refuse his mom? It's kind of the story at the wedding of Cana. They needed some wine. They came to Mary. Mary went to Jesus. And then Jesus what? provided the wine. Okay, what's the big deal? The same thing. We're ascribing a characteristic to Mary that uniquely belongs to Jesus Christ, who is our only intercessor. Jesus Christ is our intercessor, sits at the right hand of the Father, right? Consequently, we diminish Jesus Christ. Mary is never described as the mother of God. If you want to go there, the best title I could come up with was the mother of the earthly God or humanity of God. Did Mary have faults? Yeah, we read some of the faults in the story we just read today, that she had fears and doubts and confusion. And so, after the text I finished reading, the next verse I'm going to read to you now. And this is Mary proclaiming her stance on all this. All right? And what does she say? Oh, how my soul not praises me, praises who? The Lord. She acknowledged him as the one to worship. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I'm not to be worshipped. Jesus is. I'm not the Savior. He is. All right? So, even though some bad theology crept into the church over the years about Mary, she shouldn't be worshipped. Secondly, Mary is a significant or important human being, and we do respect her. And let me give you, I think there's four reasons here why we should respect her. Reason number one, she was favored by God. Favored by God. The text says here in verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Favored woman. Now, some of you might be familiar, come from a Catholic background. This is the passage where you get Hail Mary. And there are prayers that you pray called Hail Marys in the Catholic Church, for example. Hail here does not refer to worship. It refers to a greeting. It means hi, all right? It's not worship. It is hello, favored woman. Do angels worship Mary? No, they don't worship her either. And we're not favored. What does the word favored mean? It means to receive grace. Now, we favor people for all kinds of goofy reasons. We may favor something because they like them. We might favor them because they're famous. We might favor them because they're rich. We might favor them because we can get something from them. Is God like that? God operate like that? Does God favor us because there's something in us that deserves to be favored? No. We have a word, grace. What is grace? It is unmerited favor. It means you and I don't deserve it, right? So why did God choose to favor Mary? Because she deserved it? There was something special about her that no other woman's ever had? No. God chose to favor her. It was unmerited. I don't know why, but he did. You and I, if we're followers of Christ, we've received God's grace, his favor. Did you or I deserve it? No. Why do I have it? I don't know. Other than I responded to his offer. So you think we should respect Mary because she was favored by God? Let me put it this way. Should you respect your parents because you were favored by God to give them to you? What do you think? Sure. Should you respect your spouse because God favored you with that spouse? Absolutely. Should you respect your pastor because God gave him to you in this situation here? Absolutely. Anybody of authority that God's placed in your life, then we need to respect them. So we respect Mary because she was favored by God. Secondly, we respect her because she was blessed by God. Wow, is she blessed? Anyone here, any ladies here that have children, can you imagine bearing the Son of God? carrying him for 9 months. You are the only woman ever has been, ever will, birth the Son of God. That is quite a blessing, isn't it? Then I got to think about raising this kid. We'll get to talk about the sin nature in a few minutes. Can you imagine a kid that never talks back to you, that always obeys, isn't a rebellious teenager? Wow, what a blessing as a parent to have the perfect child. She certainly was blessed, wasn't she? So we should respect her because God chose to bless her. Thirdly, we respect her because she bore the God's Son. She's unique in history for this fact, right? Not because there was something special about her, she deserved it, but that is the fact, the historical fact. This woman was the mother of the earthly God or Jesus. We'll read a portion of that story again. Elizabeth gave, this is when she went to see Elizabeth, a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary. This term, glad cry here, is the only time it appears in the Bible. And it's kind of hard to put into words. It's like, hallelujah on top of hallelujah. All right? Only time it's in Scripture. Elizabeth responds when pregnant Mary comes into her presence. And here's what she says. God has blessed you, we already talked about, above all women, and your child is blessed. Then later, earlier on, back where the angel was talking to Mary, says this, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. Now, she didn't get the name her son. All of us named our kids, right? In their tradition, it should have been a family name. This was not a family name, but the angel told her to name him Jesus and tells her why. He will be very great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Logically, Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Good question, right? Did she get an answer? Absolutely. It's great when God answers our questions, isn't it? Here's the answer. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Underline that word, overshadow. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So the baby to be born will be holy and he will be called the Son of God. Now, it's kind of strange to me, but there's the virginity of Mary is outside of that one wing of the church has almost become a non-theological issue. And in fact, in parts of the church, this is not even taught anymore. Well, that's kind of impossible. You know, that's not really important that she was a virgin. It's just important that this child was God's son. Well, is that true? Let me explain to you why it's so important. First, it made it a supernatural birth, right? If she hadn't been a virgin, this birth would have been just like all the other births over history, right? And this wasn't like every other birth. This was God becoming flesh, as hard as that is to comprehend. And that word overshadow, I told you to underline, it only appears a couple times in Scripture. It appeared when the Israelites built the tabernacle, that tent of worship in the desert, and then God's Spirit came down and dwelt in that place. That word is used there. It overshadowed the tabernacle. The other time it's used in Scripture, when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with three of his disciples and had this vision and God spoke, that same word overshadow is used. And then it's used here to describe Mary conceiving God's Son. It was a supernatural birth. But theologically, the most important thing is that it was a sinless birth. So we're going to read part of the theological explanation of why this is so significant from Romans chapter 5. You can read a longer passage, but I made it as short as possible here. Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. Now notice it doesn't say Mary's sin. Who sinned first? Mary did. Who gets credit for it or blame? Adam does. This is significant. Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone, a potential. All right? Because one person disobeyed God, many, we should say all, became sinners. But because of one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous, those who believe, right? The Bible teaches that the sin nature passes through the male. Now, we're all sinners, not because we sin, but because we're born with a sin nature. Those of you who have children, do you have to teach them to misbehave? Anybody? Oh, you're too good. I need to teach you to disobey. I was with my grandkids, a bunch of them yesterday, but I was in one room and I heard a cry in the other room. I went in there and two of my grandkids were there. And one of them was crying and we said, "What happened?" And that one said, "The other one hit her." All right. We didn't have to teach her that, teach him that, did we? All right. We are sinners by nature. Consequently, we sin in disobedience. All right? Sin nature passes through the male. So, consequently, could Jesus have a male father? Now, just 2 plus 2 equals 4 here. If Jesus had a male father, he would be born with what? A sin nature. Then could he die for your sins and mine? He couldn't even die for his own sins. He wouldn't be any better than you and I. So, is the virginity of Mary a critical theological issue? Absolutely. Don't let anybody ever tell you it's not important. It's essential. All right. So, we respect her because she bore God's son, and I think there's one more here, right? Yes. This is a biggie. We respect her because she believed God's word. She believed God's word. We see it here in verse 45. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Now you say, oh, we all do that, don't we? Well, we all do it sometime. Do we all do it all the time? No, it's kind of crazy that we don't. But she believed the Lord would do what he said. She didn't run away from it. She didn't debate it. She said, I'll think about it later, make a decision. That's what you and I do sometimes, isn't it? Yeah, but wouldn't it be great? Chris, you in here somewhere? I don't think he's in here. Anyway, as a preacher, if I get up and preach a sermon at the end, everybody agrees with everything I said. I'm going to do all that stuff. All right? Obey completely what God says. Not really what I said, but what, you know, I read out of the Bible what God says. But we don't do that, do we? We pick and choose and we debate and we argue and resist. The best things about you and I are the decisions we've made to submit ourselves to God. My case, for example, when I wanted to go become an engineer and God said, no, I want to be a preacher, I decided, okay, God, you're right. Choice of spouse, go to the mission field, not go back, be a pastor of this church. All the decisions where I believe what God said were the best things about my life and the best things about your life, too. In fact, if you look back on your life, every time you did what God said, you'll have to say, I was blessed by doing that, right? God's words were reliable. If I do what God says, I don't get hurt and other people don't get hurt. When I don't do what God says, guess what happens? I get hurt and other people get hurt, don't they? Now, some people say the Bible's confusing, and let me say, we're studying the book of Revelation in our small group, and some of that is a little confusing. But let me ask you something. When it says, don't lie, steal, cheat, don't commit adultery, honor your parents, love everybody, forgive, be kind to one another, accepting one another, is any of that confusing? It's not confusing. We don't like it sometimes, but it's not confusing. 90% of the Bible, most of the stuff you and I need to know, is not confusing. She was blessed, and we respect her because she believed God's word. And thirdly, Mary is an exemplary human being. Do you imitate her? You say, wait a minute, I don't think we're supposed to imitate people. Well, Paul said this. Philippians chapter 3 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You know, I think why that's in Scripture? Because Christ is kind of, he is way up there, right? He never sinned. So he's kind of a hard model to follow. I can't do that. It could be kind of deflating. So Scripture says, like Paul, and I'm saying here like Mary, pick out an earthly example. You know, they're going to have failures, faults, mistakes. You know, don't imitate them, but the things they do right, do well, they're things you and I can imitate. So here in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, he says this, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. Underline that word servant. We'll get back to that. May everything you have said about me come true. May everything you've said about me come true. What a statement. Not, oh, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to accept this or not. I want to think about this, or maybe I don't want this. No, may everything you said about me come true. She was all in. I'm going to use the word, key word here, surrender. You know, like after the end of World War II, the Japanese and the Germans had unconditional surrender, right? What does that mean? Hey, we surrender, you can do anything you want with us. That's what it means, right? Well, that's the kind of surrender the Bible talks about that you and I need to have to God. But what do most of us do? I'll surrender this, or I'll surrender this, but I'm going to hold on to this. Uh-uh. The Japanese or the Germans tried it, what would we say? Nope. Doesn't work that way. But Mary was absolute surrender, unconditional. If you want to find somebody to imitate, to be like, Mary's a great choice in her act of surrender. What is the result of complete surrender? Give you the answer in one word, freedom. Let me put it this way. Do you ever win a wrestling match with God? Kind of dumb question, right? You can't. So rather than struggle and fight, when we let go, what do we get? Freedom. So when God makes something clear, we don't argue, we don't debate, we don't say no. We don't say, I want to think about it. What is there to think about? Good things happen when we do what? Submit and embrace God's will for our life. That's when good things happen. But I don't like my situation. I don't like my job. I don't like the person I'm married to. I don't like my parents. I don't like my kids. I don't like... Wait a minute. Can you get to choose to be somebody else? Anybody? So what's the Bible telling us? This is your opportunity. Seize it. God has a plan for your life. Submit your will to His. Now Mary put it this way. I am the Lord's servant. The real correct term there is bond slave. A few weeks ago we talked about this. Remember? What's the difference between a servant and a slave? A slave gets no input, right? Easiest way to describe it is this. Master says jump, you say how high, right? That's a slave. Mary says, I am the Lord's bond slave. I'm going to be the mother of Jesus? Okay. You get to choose. I surrender. So let's talk about surrender a little bit. She surrendered to God's will even though, one, it was difficult. Folks, you and I have no concept of how difficult Mary's life is going to be. Now, probably, like I said, it was probably pretty cool when she was parenting Jesus. I can imagine that being pretty neat. He did go off in the temple there that one time when he was 12 and kind of disappeared for a couple days. But other than that, until the time of 30, no problems. Those last 3 years, can you imagine? All the horrible things and accusations that thrown at Jesus. And then, of course, the last day of his life, spitting on him and beating him and watching him die on a cross. None of us are going to have to watch our children do that, are we? It was going to be tough. Who are the happiest people you know? I would submit to you, the happiest people you know are the most surrendered people. And the most unhappy people you know, or ourselves, when we're the unhappiest is what the more we resist God's will for our life. So think about that. You're pretty happy now today? Well, you probably have been pretty surrendered. If you got all kinds of turmoil going on in your life, you're probably not surrendered. We have joy when we do what God says about our finances, about our relationships, about other issues. Think about it this way. Is God loving, kind, and want what's best for you? Nod your heads. All right. He does. So why resist that? Does that make sense? Loving and kind and best? For what? Something that's not loving or not kind or not best? Kind of crazy how we operate sometimes, isn't it? So let's commit to submitting to God's will, even when it's difficult. Secondly, because even though she didn't understand everything. You think Mary had a clue what it meant to be the mother of Jesus at this point? It says in Scripture, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Did she understand it all? Could she understand it all? No. Do you understand it all in your life? Can you understand it all? How often do you and I need to surrender? Here's my answer. Every time you find you're not. Scripture says, forgive everyone. You find you don't have forgiveness in your heart. Time to resurrender, right? Every time you're not is a time to resurrender. You know, people are so stubborn. I need to talk about this. I know it's not for me, so I know it must be for you folks out here, the stubbornness issue. lost my place. Excuse me. Oh, yeah, I want to tell you this old story. This captain in the Navy. Ship was going at night, and they saw this light in front of them. He told his single man to signal to the other boat, you know, change your course 10 degrees to the south. Gets his signal back. No, you change your course 10 degrees to the north. Well, he's a captain. He said, well, signal back. I'm the captain. Change your course 10 degrees to the south. Gets his signal back. I'm third class seaman so-and-so. No, you change your course 10 degrees to the north. Well, at this point, the captain's livid, right? This third-class seaman is trying to tell him what to do. So he says, I'm a battleship. Change your course 10 degrees to the south. Got the signal back. I'm a lighthouse. Change your signal 10 degrees to the north. But we're like that captain, aren't we? We set our minds on a course, and we're not going to change it. And if we don't change, when God says change, where are we headed? We're headed for the rocks. We're headed for disaster, aren't we? Problem with stubbornness. God says you better change your course or disaster's coming. And so then it's our choice what to do, isn't it? So what is God telling you to surrender? You know he's saying this. I can do a better job of running your life than you can. Will you let me do it? So let's be like Mary. Surrender even though we don't understand everything. Thirdly, she didn't know all the details. This is a biggie for me. Can you imagine being Mary? Wait a minute. You say I'm going to be a virgin and then have a child. What's it going to do? What's Joseph going to think about this? And my family? And what about my village? I'm going to be an outcast? And the question would be endless, right? Same thing happened with you and I when God says something. I want you to be a pastor. Wait a minute. God, I can't get up in front of talk. People and talk, and you know, I'm an introvert, and most pastors should be extroverts, etc., etc., etc. We can debate and argue all we want, but is God going to give us all the details? Is he going to tell Mary this case, you're going to have to watch your son be beaten and suffer and die a cruel death on a cross and be rejected by everyone? Is God going to tell Mary this at this point in her life? No, why isn't he going to tell her? Because she couldn't handle it, right? Does God give you your whole life, set your whole life out in front of you? No, why not? Because you can't handle it. God's a loving God. He's not going to give us that which we cannot handle. So, I submit we need to say, I'll surrender to you, God, even though I don't know all the details. I haven't figured it out. Besides, if I have it all figured out, is any faith required? No, okay, God, let's just do this thing. That brings us to the last point. Surrender God's will, even though it took great faith. This wasn't an easy thing to do. We already talked about that. In fact, surrender always comes back to this issue of faith. When you can't see his hand, the song says what? You know this song? Can't see his hand, trust his heart. Give you a definition of faith. Thought this was good. Believing the word of God, this book, folks, we say we do, but we don't always, and acting upon it, no matter how I feel, if I think I agree with it or not, why? Because God promises a good result. What exactly did Mary believe? Well, she believed what the angel said. You're going to be a virgin, have a child, he's going to be the Son of the Most High God. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty hard to wrap your mind around. The things that God has told me in my life and told you aren't quite that dramatic or require quite that much faith, I don't think. So Mary was a tremendous woman of faith, great example to us in that area. The issue again is surrender. What is God wanting you to surrender? Now, if you're not a follower of Christ here this morning, the first thing is your life. Accept his gift of salvation, eternal life, and surrender to that. For most of us, it's probably some area of our life that we need to either commit or recommit or change. I think this video clip is a dramatic demonstration of surrender.
Grace. Does pray a lot. Find grace that Bruce. Dear God, please help Bruce find himself, find contentment, find you. Dear God, please help Bruce. He seems to be struggling. Dear God, give Bruce strength. Dear God, bless Bruce. Bruce, Bruce, Bruce. It's her. Sandy, it's her. She's logging on. She's praying right now.
Say with Bruce, I don't want to do this anymore. I want you to decide what's right for my life. I surrender to your will. What area of your life do you need to surrender this morning? Finances, maybe? You trying to control them? Relationship? Some moral issue? Maybe something else I can't even think of. The Spirit of God is laid on your heart this morning. It's time to surrender. Let's pray. Father God, it seems a little odd that we are so resistant to you as you've proven yourself over and over again to be an all-wise, all-loving, caring, compassionate, knows what's best for us, God. So anytime we resist or choose something else, we're choosing something less than best. Something less than good, often bad. I understand, God, that's part of that sin nature that we're born with. But God, will also through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can get victory. So God, I pray for every person here today. We all have our struggles. The joy comes by surrender. Like Bruce, we need to say, I give up, I quit. I don't want to try and do this anymore my way, God. I want to do it your way, the right way, the best way. Joy comes, freedom comes. Not from doing our thing, but by surrender to His thing. Won't you do that this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Oops, excuse me. You have your cards. We'd ask you to respond as how God has spoken to you this morning. We say this over and over again. God has been here, is here. He speaks. When God speaks, He expects us to listen and respond. How frustrated do you get when you talk to your kids and you know they heard what you said and they don't do it? Good thing God didn't get that frustrated with us. But more importantly than your kids listening to you, it's God's kids, you and I, listening to Him. So that's all I ask you to do this morning. Say, okay, God, He says jump. You just say, how high? Thank you.